last week in our study, we listened as the third and fourth trumpets were blown by angels standing at the ready. We watched as John did, as the wrath of God was poured out on the earth with greater devastation and intensity. We saw a blazing star fall to the earth, contaminating fresh water streams and rivers for an undisclosed period of time. We then heard the fourth trumpet blow, and one-third of the sun was darkened, one-third of the moon was darkened, and one-third of the stars stopped shining. We learned that this judgment would affect the entire world. We then heard an eagle-like heavenly creature saying, "Woe, woe, woe," to the inhabitants of the earth, not because of what has already happened, but what is about to happen with the next three trumpet judgments. Tonight, we're going to see what happens when God allows the fifth angel to blow his trumpet. Now, you might want to make a note right beside chapter 9, first woe judgment. First woe. Wait a minute, it's a trumpet judgment. Yep, but it's a woe trumpet judgment. Woe. Right? Thank you. Thank you, Trey. You're with me tonight. So this is the first woe judgment. Let's read Revelation chapter 9. The fifth angel blew his trumpet, and I saw a star that had fallen from the heaven to earth. The key to the shaft of the abyss was given to him. He opened the shaft of the abyss, and smoke came out of the shaft like smoke from a great furnace, so that the sun and the air was darkened by the smoke from the shaft. Then out of the smoke, locusts came to the earth, and power was given to them, like the power that scorpions have on the earth. They were told not to harm the grass of the earth, or any green plant, or any tree. Now, our antennas ought to be sticking up here. Whoa, hold on a second. Whoa. What are you talking about, grass and trees? Well, you know, some of that's already gone. We'll address that here in a second. But they were only allowed to hurt only people who do not have God's seal on their foreheads. They were not permitted to kill them, but were to torment them for 5 months. Their torment is like the torment caused by a scorpion when it strikes a man. In those days, people will seek death and will not find it. They will long to die, but death will flee from them. The appearance of the locust was like horses equipped for battle. On their heads were something like gold crowns. Now, I'm describing an insect here, so to speak, okay? Think with me here. The appearance of the locust was like horses equipped for battle. On their heads were something like gold crowns. Their faces were like man's faces. They had hair like women's hair. And teeth. Their teeth were like lion's teeth. They had chests like iron breastplates. And the sound of their wings was like the sound of chariots with many horses rushing into battle. And they had tails with stingers like scorpions, so that with their tail they had the power to harm people for 5 months. They had as their king the angel of the abyss. His name in Hebrew is Abaddon, and in the Greek he has a name Apollyon. The first woe is past. There are still two more woes to come after this. Let's pray. Father, we come to you tonight asking just to settle us. Lord, help us to see this end time scripture that, Lord, we understand we don't have to be prepared, but Lord, we have to prepare others. Help us to understand this, but that we might be better equipped to serve you. In Jesus' name I do pray, and all God's children said, amen. Now, as we heard tonight's lesson, the scripture, you might be asking yourself right about now, how much more can these who are on the earth take? How much more can they take? Really, just think with me here. In a very short time span, millions of people have seemingly disappeared from the face of the earth. Graves were opened up and bodies are gone. War is taking place everywhere. People are killing each other on a daily basis with little or no cause and little or no effect. It's happening everywhere. Food is in short supply. Clean water is all but impossible to find. There have been 2 earthquakes that have caused continental shifts. 1/3 of the natural light is gone. And then comes tonight's scripture. Who can take it much more of this? Now, who's left? Who's left on the earth after the rapture takes place? Unbelievers. Exactly. The believers, the church is already gone. So, we have a natural question that needs to be addressed here tonight before we get to the sermon. What is the purpose of all these atrocities? Why? I mean, it's one on top of another on top of another, and each one is increasing in its intensity. What is the purpose for all of this devastation? I'm glad you asked. I'm going to tell you. The first reason we have discussed just about on a weekly basis every night since we've opened the first of the 7 seals, being the wrath of God. That's the first reason for all these atrocities. They're growing in number, growing in intensity. Wrath of God. It's the wrath of God. We're seeing the unbridled wrath of a holy God who has done everything in his power to persuade men to follow him before the rapture. Those who heard the gospel and refused to accept Christ will not have the opportunity to accept Jesus during the tribulation, as stated in 2 Thessalonians 2:11. These unrepentant people will encounter each and every judgment to its absolute fullest extent, and at some point before Christ comes for the millennial reign, they'll die and spend eternity in hell. So number one, why are all these devastations? It's because rebellious man is on this earth. The wrath of God is being poured out, and they deserve it. Listen, if you're here tonight and you have never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, you need to prepare yourself. You need to do everything you possibly can. But I'm going to go ahead and tell you, you are not going to make it through the tribulation. You're not going to do it. I don't care how tough you are. I don't care how many guns you have, how much food you've got supplied in the stock. You're not going to make it. And if you do make it to tonight, you'll wish you hadn't. So what's the obvious thing you need to do? You need to accept Christ as your personal Savior. I wouldn't wait another second. I'd charge down the aisle right now and say, look, preacher, I want to get saved now. Hey, trumpet of God might blow while we're in the middle of this sermon. Right? Why not now? Why not right now? So the first reason for all these atrocities is because the wrath of God on unrepentant man. The second reason we see these atrocities taking place and becoming more and more intensive with the coming of the next and the next is for those who have never heard the gospel to be compelled to accept the gospel message by those 144,000 sealed messengers of God. Church, at some point, listen to me, at some point in the lives of the unreached people, they have got to come to the conclusion that these events are not just random events. They are acts of God. Y'all with me? How quickly they're occurring, how they're occurring, the intensity of how they're occurring. At some point, these people who have never heard the gospel have got to make some sort of decision for God. Now think with me back to your day of salvation. Can y'all remember your day of salvation when you accepted Christ? Y'all remember? Okay, think with me back to your day of salvation. How many times did God reveal himself to you personally? How many? Yeah, a lot. How many times had God, before you finally gave in, Pat, before you finally accepted Jesus, how many times had Jesus revealed himself to you? How many times did you feel the Holy Spirit of God pulling you to your knees to accept Jesus before you finally did accept him? Now, I can't answer that for yourself. I can answer for me. Now, what took you so long is the very reason it has taken the tribulation saints so long. God is making himself known in the same time, forcing these people to make a decision. We have all had to make this same decision for God. Every person who has ever lived, will ever live, has to make the same decision. And that decision is this: what will you do with this man named Jesus? They're going to have to make that decision. Now, if you're here tonight and you are a member of Chevis Oaks Baptist Church, Scripture says, don't get mad at me. Don't you be mad at your preacher. Scripture says that when the rapture takes place, you will believe a lie. You'll be manipulated. You'll believe a lie, and the lie is that Satan is going to be the Messiah. You'll worship Satan if you don't accept Christ now. What we're seeing and what we're talking about is these people who are getting saved are ones who have never heard the gospel message before. Never heard it. Well, how are they going to hear it? Those 144,000 sealed saints that God sealed just a few chapters ago. All right. Tonight is absolutely unbelievable. It's phenomenal. It's not the message, it is the message. It's not me, it's what we should all see taking place. It should cause us to be unbelievably excited. Not for ourselves, but for our brothers and sisters who are going to accept Christ during the tribulation period. There's going to be a mass group of people accept Christ. Now, why are all these atrocities taking place? Number one, for unrepentant man. Number two is to get these people who have never heard the gospel of Christ to hear it and to accept Jesus as their personal Savior. Amen? Amen? Okay, good. Now, what did John see tonight? The first thing John sees is a star that had fallen from heaven. This should have perked up our ears and make us take a second and maybe a third look. Scholars believe that this falling star, who is given a gender, is Satan himself. Flip with me, if you will, if you have time, if you can, real quick, to Luke chapter 10, verse 18. Jesus gives reference to this. Luke chapter 10, verse 18. Luke 10, 18 says this. He said to them, "I watched Satan fall from heaven like a lightning flash." Satan fell from heaven. Amen? So, where did I find? Okay. Satan was once the most beautiful of God's creations, and now we see him being used to fulfill the wrath of God. We should all be quick to understand here that even those who are the most rebellious in the most rebellious states will be used, if God sees fit, to bring him glory and save those who were lost. Now, you should have immediately thought, okay, who in the world has God used? They've been in rebellion, and God used them to bring himself glory in times past. How about Pharaoh? God used Pharaoh to bring himself glory. Pharaoh saw all the atrocities taking place, and listen, he was all into natural gods. At some point in that line of progression, before it came to the bloodshed of all those children, his eyes should have been open. If you follow the Scripture, Scripture says that God what? Hardened Pharaoh's heart. He had already reached a point in his life where he was so rebellious toward God, God said, "That's fine, I'm not even going to work on you anymore. I'm going to harden your heart and I'm going to use you for my glory." Tonight we see Satan, not on his own accord, He is doing what God told him to do, but it's for God's glory. Amen? All right. John saw that the falling angel was given a key to open the abyss. Y'all saw that, right? The shaft of the abyss. Now, I want you to understand here. Satan did not have a key. I've got a lot of keys on my key ring. I don't have a key to the abyss. Neither does Satan. Satan does not have a key to the abyss. He was given a key. Satan did not have authority to do what he was doing. Satan was given the authority by God for the purpose of God. God is giving him the purpose to fulfill God's purpose. So as you look through this Scripture, don't be thinking, "Oh, well, he's finally going to unravel his wrath on the earth." Well, yes and no. If it wasn't for God, he wouldn't have been allowed to even come on the earth then. Amen? But he has been given authority by God. Now, the word abyss means without depth. Without depth. Or without measurable depth. When Satan opens this shaft, John sees smoke so thick and abundant that it fills the air to the degree that the sun is darkened. That is the only good news from this scripture. And that news isn't all that good news. That's where it all stops. You see Satan open the doors to the shaft, and this smoke billows out. Does anybody know where it is? I don't have a clue. You know, I remember, and I've told you, do y'all remember what movie I told y'all was one of the first movies I saw? My babysitter took me to it. No, Godzilla and Smog Monster was the first movie I ever saw. Do y'all see that classic movie? Anybody see Godzilla versus the Smog Monster? Y'all need to rent that. That's a good movie. No, but my babysitter, when I was like 8 or 9 years old, took me to the Amityville Horror. Nice, huh? Y'all don't take that to the scout. Y'all don't take the scouts to that, do you? No. And there's a part, I think, in one of the Amityville Horrors where you go down and there's like a hole, and it says it's like the opening, the gates of hell. And it's radiating red, and I mean, it's scary, especially when you're, you know, 8 or 9. Don't watch that. It's bad. People have tried to duplicate what Scripture is talking about here. You can't do it. You absolutely cannot do it. Is there such a place? Yeah. Well, how do you know, Brother Kyle? Because Scripture says there is. Somewhere on this earth, somewhere, I don't know where it is, it is a gate to the great abyss. Well, what in the world is it? Just calm down. We'll get there in a second. Now, the word abyss, I already said that, what it means. Now comes the creatures that come out of the abyss. Paige Patterson says, John writes his commentary as if the reader should be familiar with what the abyss is and who it is that presides there. Jude chapter 6 tells us that the angels who were kept there, they left their first estate, which was heaven, and were at least part confined here until the day of judgment. Those who were in the abyss are those who followed Satan's rebellion and were cast into the abyss. And Scripture tonight tells us their number resembled a horde of locusts. Any of y'all ever seen a horde of locusts on like the Nature Channel? How they fill the air? It's a lot. It's a tremendous, tremendous amount. Now is where I've got a question. Now, my Wednesday night crowd knows what I'm talking about. I have a list of questions in my mind that I can't answer, but when I stand before God, I'll have all the answers. I have a question now here. Now is where I have a question. I have not found an answer. Why is it that some of these fallen angels are confined and others are not? Y'all ever ask that question? Because Jude 6 says that fallen angels were confined. And I asked some of my professors when I was in school the same question, and I think they thought I was trying to be a smart aleck, Angie. I don't know where they would get that from, but I really wanted to know. Why is it that these fallen angels are kept? They are kept in the abyss because of the rebellion, but others are allowed to roam the earth. Well, how do you know that others are allowed to roam the earth? Well, Jesus cast out demons, didn't he? I mean, are there not demonic powers still on this earth even this day? Yeah. Well, why aren't they in the abyss? Y'all ever ask that question? Because they are the same as these. They were part of a rebellious group that rebelled with Satan. Why aren't they in the abyss? Well, hold on. Calm down. I'm getting ready to try and answer the question for you, okay? Everybody all right? Brian, you all right? Okay, good. This is yet another question that I will not have answered until I get to heaven. The best answer I have come to embrace on this topic is this. Some were not contained to express the purpose for the express purpose of God. How can a man know what is holy and perfect if there is an absolute absence of evil? So if this earth were here and there was a total absence of evil, how would we ever know what was holy? You ever thought about that? I didn't, but God did, right? With that in mind, and you figure that God allowed a small portion of these fallen angels to walk the earth, and you can see the destruction that they've accomplished in the short period of time they've been here. Y'all with me? Now, the big number of them is in the abyss. There's a small handful of them. I don't know how many. I don't have a clue. But there's not as many as there are in the abyss that are roaming this earth causing destruction. Now, let me ask you, what do you think it's going to be like here when an army of fallen angels is unleashed on this earth? The totality of them. All these angels that are in the abyss, locked because of their rebellion, all of them, Gary, all of them are released from this abyss to wreak havoc on this earth. I wonder what that's going to be like. I don't like the ones who are here now. I really don't. But can you imagine when all of them are here, what it's going to be? I'm not going to be here. Now, John goes in description. He describes the creatures. These creatures were given special objectives. Did y'all see that when we were reading through? What were their objectives? They're not allowed to harm the grass of the earth, the green plant or the trees. They are only able to harm those who have. They are only able to harm those who do not have the seal of God on their forehead. Now, we can come to two conclusions from verse 4. The first is the vegetation back from the time of the first trumpet judgment where all the grass was destroyed has been repopulated. Some of it's come back. So we were asking just last week how many of these trumpet judgments and seals judgments are for the duration of tribulation. Well, we automatically know that the grass didn't stay dead completely. It's regenerated to a certain degree. Now, how do we know that, Brother Kyle? Because here we are in the fifth trumpet judgment, and it's saying that demons weren't allowed to touch the grass. Well, there must be some new grass. The second conclusion is that there were those who would be completely safe for this judgment and would be those who were sealed by God. This is most definitely the 144,000 Jews, and most scholars believe it also included those who had accepted Christ through the preaching of the 144,000 sealed Jews. So, y'all hold on. I'm just about done. It's getting ready to get exciting. I promise you. We get to verse 5. Verse 5 tells us that these creatures were not able to kill the lost souls on the earth, but they were allowed to torture them for 5 months. I don't like the word torture. Anybody like the word torture? For 5 months. Now let me ask you a question here. Let's just say that you have beaten the odds and live long enough to see this smoke fill the sky and darken the sun. You may have been able to explain away everything that has happened to this point as a natural event, or maybe blame it on people who have destroyed the environment or for what has happened. Now, let me tell you how thorough God is. Let me just explain how thorough God is. What you're about to see cannot be explained away by nature. What you're about to see will bring every person who is able to accept Christ beyond the breaking point and then some. Those who are teetering, looking at all this devastation, wondering where it's coming from, it's going to push them over the edge to make a decision about who God is. Now, what do these creatures look like? Now, we know that they were fallen angels locked in the abyss, but God allows them to take a formation. They are morphed into these locust-like creatures. And I read through, I described them. Let's read verse 7 again. Look at verse 7. The appearance of the locusts was like horses Anybody ever seen a horse-looking locust? I mean, that's kind of freaky looking, isn't it? The appearance of the locust was like horses equipped for battle. On their heads were something like gold crowns. Their faces were like man's faces. They had hair like women's hair. Their teeth were like lion's teeth. They had chests like iron breastplates, and some of their wings, the sound of their wings was like the sound of chariots with many horses rushing into battle. And they had tails with stingers like scorpions, so that with their tails they had the power to harm people for 5 months. What we're seeing is something that has never, ever been seen before. When those who are being affected by these creatures start looking for answers, and they will, for what they are seeing and where they came from, there is only one book in recorded history that can give them the answers, and that's the Holy Word of God. Now, what are you talking about, Brother Kyle? I planted a lemon tree in my yard. My wife got me a lemon tree because I love fruit trees, but she gave me a lemon tree 2 years ago for Christmas. I planted that dude right in between the property line and myself and my next door neighbor, and it's weird looking. Any of y'all have a lemon tree? They grow weird. Well, I got out of my car this past summer, and Miss Sue, I noticed that something was eating on the leaves. So I go over there because if I see something eating the leaves, I need to spray some seven dust or something on them. So I look down, and there is this black caterpillar looking thing on my leaves, and they are varying in sizes. I mean, the biggest one was about like this. So I'm not scared of bugs. I pick that dude up, and I start looking at him. And I'm just assuming that it's a male, but it's probably a female, as nasty as I will get ready to explain this thing did. I mean, this thing was just wicked, evil. Glenn, I picked that thing off, and my next-door neighbor came out, and I said, Benny, look at this thing. Look at this thing's on my lemon tree. And he came over there, and he looked at it, and he said, I ain't never seen anything like that before in my life. I said, here, eat it. No. It was black and looked like a caterpillar, except for it was thick. I mean, it was almost as thick as a woolly worm. Y'all know what a woolly worm is, right? It was about this thick and about this long. And it had antennas sticking. I'm serious, y'all. I'm not playing. It had antennas sticking up out of the top of its head. When I picked it up, Dan, something shot out of his antennas like, a rainbow. And I'm saying, what in the world is this? And about that time, I smelt the vilest smell I'd ever smelt in my life. I mean, just nasty. And Benny said, throw that thing down. So I threw it down, and I start picking all these caterpillars off my lemon tree. Well, little did I know, Benny went in, and he looked on the internet, and it's a special caterpillar that only attacks lemon trees. How did they know that I had a lemon tree, Gary? I mean, I didn't put it out there. I didn't tell y'all didn't even know until I just told you. Don't you be coming stealing lemons when I get lemons. But how did they know that I had a lemon tree? They were all over it. Benny, my next door neighbor, he went in the house. I mean, he was intrigued by it. He got on the internet and he looked it up. And it is a special lemon sucking bug that eats only lemon trees. Leaves. Y'all see what he did, right? He wanted information. He went and got it. He went to the internet and got it, right? Think with me. When these creatures pop up out of the abyss, the world ain't ever seen anything like this before. Something that resembles a locust but looks like a horse. It's got a crown on its head. It's got teeth like a lion. It's got hair like a woman. They ain't ever seen anything like that before. Can you imagine? I mean, I can see them all hitting the web at the same time. What in the world is this? And, nothing hits from National Geographic. Nothing hits from Animal Planet. Nothing hits from anywhere else. But it gets 10,000 hits from the book of Revelation. There is only one book on this planet that can identify what's coming out of this abyss, and that's the Word of God. That's exciting. I mean, think of all the millions of animals that are out there. This one hadn't come yet. I'm going to be from on the other side looking down on this one. One book can answer the question. Well, look, I want to go ahead and tell you now. This one book can answer all the questions now if you'll listen to it. It really can. Conclusion. Look at verse 12. Look at verse 12, and let me find my place. Verse 12 says, the first woe is past. There are still two more woes to come after this. Well, what is John referring to with these woes? Look at chapter 8, verse 13. I looked and heard an eagle flying in mid-heaven, saying in a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to those who live on the earth because of the remaining trumpet blast that the three angels are about to sound. The first of the three trumpet judgments is done after 5 months and two more to come. Can you imagine when the lost people read this verse and they still have the ability to accept Jesus and flee from the next two woe judgments? Don't you understand that they will? They're going to be, Vicky, they're going to be looking for answers. What in the world is this sting in my body? What can I do to this is tearing me up. What everybody knows with a bee sting, what do you put on a bee sting to remove the sting? Tobacco. I mean, there's all kind of home remedies. When this dude starts biting you, they're going to be looking for answers. What do I do? They're going to find an answer in the Word of God. Right? You better accept Him and accept Him now. Can you imagine when lost people read this verse and they will still have the ability to accept Jesus and flee the next two woe judgments that they wouldn't? A bunch of people are going to accept Christ as their personal Savior at this point in time in history. It's going to be an unbelievable. I believe we're going to be rejoicing in heaven when we see this event taking place. Now, what do we need to see tonight? What do we need to do? Church, we need to point people to safety first and fast. This is literally going to happen. Are we really telling people? You know, every single person in this room knows a non-believer, don't you? Somebody that you've tried to be a witness to, somebody you've tried to, and they don't want to hear nothing about Jesus. Well, what can you do? You can put your arm around them and say, listen, I love you. I can't make you accept Jesus. I can't make you accept my Jesus. But will you do me a favor? Please do me a favor. I want you to be prepared. I want you to read Revelation chapter 6 through chapter 9. And it's that way you can at least be a little bit prepared for what's coming. Will you do that? And I promise you, it will intrigue them enough to at some point they'll pick it up and they'll take a peek. They might have a chance. On this side of the rapture, they still have a chance. Church, on the other side of the rapture, they ain't got a chance. We need to be diligent right now while we still can. Amen? Let's all stand, heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, we love you and we praise you. God, we thank you for giving us this scripture. It's both frightening and exciting to see and to know what's going to take place. Lord, I pray that you would be with us, continue to enlighten us, help us to feel your presence, to know that you're real, know that you love us, know that you desire the very best for us. Lord, help us to seek you while we still have days and breath to do that very thing. In Jesus' name I do pray. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, the altar's open if you need to come.